You've already noticed that little graphic, I'm sure, down at the bottom of the bulletin that we look at every month, and every month it changes, and this month it's committed to encouragement as our theme for our Bible study during the month of October. Daniel has done a really good job with the announcements that scroll on the screen before and after services, and he's called attention to that passage that is there along with that little graphic. There is a greater need than ever for more encouragement among God's people. Now, if I were saying that tomorrow, I would say the same thing. There is a greater need than ever. Because every day that goes by, as long as life continues here on this earth, there are circumstances and events and things that take place in the lives of every single one of us that make it more and more and more needful to be encouraged and to encourage one another. In fact, this may be one of the simplest duties that you and I have toward one another as Christians. The duty to encourage one another. But in fact, even though it may be one of the simplest things that we ever have to do, it sometimes is the last thing on some people's minds, just the little matter of encouraging one another. But thus the title of our study this morning, Encourage One Another, based on the text of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, which says simply, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing." The word encourage is a word, it's one of those words I always look at as being a very positive word. And I believe it's represented that way in Scripture whenever we find the word encourage or encouraged or encouragement, some form of that word. Webster's dictionary defines the word as to give courage to give confidence to inspire with courage, spirit, or strength of mind, to embolden, to help, to give support to be favorable to foster. And there are times that that word is rendered in different ways in Scripture. Sometimes it's rendered in English, comfort. Sometimes it's rendered consolation. At other times, exhort. And in the passage we read just a few minutes ago, the matter of building up. All of those words are talking about essentially the same kind of thing. That is the duty that we have toward one another to encourage, to give courage, to give confidence, to inspire with courage, to give help and support, and to be favorable to one another. All of that comes under the umbrella of encouragement. And we need the encouragement from one another. Our Bible reading for the month is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. That passage says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." As I look at those two verses, there are four things that I believe, well, at least they kind of jump out at me. First of all, there is the fact that Paul describes the body of Christ, which is the church. And I believe in writing to the Christians there in Ephesus, he had in mind the local congregation in specific ways, and of course the brotherhood in general. But specifically looking at the local congregation, he describes it as being a body that is joined and held together by every joint. In other words, the only way it stays together is that every joint is working to hold it all together. And then he goes on to say, when each part is working properly. Well, I can relate to that. You can too. We can relate to it in physical ways. We can relate to it in mechanical ways. When there's a part on your car that isn't working properly. You ever seen anybody pull up to stop and to get out of their vehicle and so they roll the window down? And then they reach outside the window and they punch the button or pull the handle in order to get the door open. I've had a vehicle like that. I thankfully didn't keep it very long in that condition, but that's a perfect illustration of a part that's not working properly, and so it necessitates a whole lot of other backup plan. And you know it's the same thing with your physical body. If you've got a foot that isn't working properly, then that other foot that is working properly usually winds up along with the knee and the leg of the other side taking and doing a double amount of duty in order to take the stress off of the one that isn't working properly. Now translate all of that into the concept of the church and especially the local congregation. When there are parts that aren't working properly, then that means there are other parts that have to spread out the duty and take on more of the responsibilities that someone else should have been carrying. Then number three, Paul points out the result. When the body is held together by the joints, and each part is working properly, the result is the body grows. It becomes stronger. It becomes better able to accomplish what it needs to accomplish. And obviously, the same thing is true about the local congregation. When everybody's doing their part and every piece and joint is working properly, the result is we grow stronger and we grow better able to accomplish the things that we need to do. And then there's that fourth thing. In the process of all of this, he says, the body builds itself up in love. Have you ever thought about the part that love plays in all of this? Listen, I'm not talking about the mushy emotional stuff, you know. Oh, I just love everybody. Come here, let me give you a hug. You know, nothing wrong with hugging. Nothing wrong with saying that we love one another. But love in this sense goes a little bit deeper than just things on the surface. It is in love that we build ourselves up and one another up. This morning there are four specific things that I have in mind that I'd like to call our attention to in this matter of encouraging one another. And I want us to take a quick look at this one first, and I call it the face of encouragement. The face of encouragement. That face has a name. It wasn't his real name. It was his nickname that we remember him by. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, we are introduced to the man named Joseph, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. The man who was an encourager. Now I want to suggest to you, if there is something about a person's nature, if there is something about his personality and the way he conducts himself, and if that characteristic, whatever it is, causes his closest friends and associates to give him a name, and that name is remembered more than anything else in the world about that person, that would seem to indicate to me that that trait, that characteristic, that quality about that person must really be strong. And the fact that the apostles gave Joseph the nickname Son of Encouragement delivers a pretty strong message, I think. We see there, according to verses 36 and 37 in Acts chapter 4, that he was very generously involved in the local congregation there in Jerusalem. In fact, the Bible said, "Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." There was a lot of that going on in that day. There were several, obviously, who were helping to support those who needed help in the early days of the church there in Jerusalem. And Barnabas is called out primarily on this occasion for his generous involvement. Don't miss that word, involvement. He was generously involved. To be involved, there are a couple of things that need to be in place. First of all, to be involved, you've got to be interested. You not only have to be interested, but you have to be present. You have to be there. You have to be willing to do whatever can be done within your scope of ability. Barnabas was generously involved, greatly interested in the local congregation in Jerusalem. Specifically, he was able to help with some financial matters, and he got involved in meeting these needs. But you know, that's not the only thing we know about Barnabas. If you follow the text on through, he appears again in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 27, tells about the occasion when the recently converted Saul of Tarsus, we'll know him as Paul, the Apostle Paul, He'd spent his last few years persecuting anything that resembled Christianity. But he'd been converted to Christ, and so he'd changed, and so he goes and tries to become associated with the congregation. I think this is an example of placing membership. He wanted to place membership with the church in Jerusalem. And you remember the Bible says they were scared of him. They were afraid, because they'd heard of all the bad things that he'd done. And Barnabas comes on the scene, and Barnabas takes Paul, and he introduces him to the apostles, and he tells them of all of the things that Paul had recently gone through. He takes up for him and recommends him there to the church in Jerusalem. But Barnabas is not finished yet. In Acts chapter 11, we read about a new congregation of God's people that had been established in a little place called Antioch. And they needed some teaching, and the Bible says that Barnabas was sent from the church in Jerusalem to Antioch. And the first thing that he did was to begin to encourage them to stay faithful. After all, we're talking about the son of encouragement here. And then the Bible says he went to Tarsus and got Paul and brought him back to Antioch, realizing the opportunity, realizing Paul's ability. And it says that they stayed there for a year, teaching, strengthening, encouraging the church. It was there in Antioch, according to Acts 11, verse 26, this same Antioch, where the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now let me ask you something. When was the last time you specifically turned aside and spent some time with a new convert? When was the last time that you sought out someone who's recently converted to Christ, a babe in Christ, and took some of your time to make sure that they understood what they need to understand, they have what they need in order to follow God? When was the last time we specifically made an effort to help someone new get involved in a local congregation? When was the last time we followed in Barnabas's footsteps? Barnabas, the face of encouragement. Let's take a minute or two to look at a short list of things concerning the need for encouragement. You know, it is a sad fact that a lot of people seem to be particularly skilled at discouraging. As simple and easy as encouragement is, some people obviously had rather spend their time tearing down instead of building up. I remember a Peanuts cartoon. Some of life's greatest lessons are illustrated there with Charlie Brown and Lucy and Snoopy and the gang. And in this particular cartoon, it depicted Snoopy, the dog, sliding all around on a frozen pond. And he was just having the time of his life. And Lucy comes up. She sits down and she straps on her ice skates. She goes out onto the pond and starts skating in those elegant figure eights and all of those things. And old Snoopy comes sliding right up to her with that big old dog grin on his face. And Lucy said, "That's not skating, that's sliding." And Snoopy just sat there and listened to her lecture. "You don't have any skates on," she said. "Skating is when you have skates on. You're not skating at all. You're just sliding." The next frame shows old Snoopy walking dejectedly off the pond and saying to himself, "How could I have been so stupid? And I thought I was having fun." The fact is, a lot of people are a little bit like old Lucy in that cartoon. They're rather skilled at tearing people down. We need to be encouragers. We need to be encouragers, first of all, because of life's realities. You know, we're all different. We live differing lives, different circumstances, but we've all got one thing for sure in common in this regard, and that is the fact that we all live in the same real world. And we all have to go through some of the realities that life dishes out. We can't always explain them. It's sometimes not given for us to know why. When sickness, death, hurt, and hardship come our way, Sometimes we bring some of those things on ourselves, but sometimes some of those things come into our lives through no fault of our own. These are all times when we need to encourage one another because of the things that happen in our lives. Number two, consider the fact that we need to encourage one another because of opposition. The kind of opposition I'm thinking about right now is in the form of the temptations from Satan and his efforts to cause us to fall. You know, Satan's in the business of breaking down. Paul expressed his fear on behalf of the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. He said, "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." We need every advantage to stay up because the devil is coming after every one of us. And so we need to encourage one another. We need to encourage one another because of the turmoil of our emotions. The turmoil of our emotions. Now, Webster defines emotion as a variety of complex reactions with both psychical and physical manifestations. Things, he says, such as love, hate, fear, anger, and so forth. You know, to some extent, every one of us are moved by these reactions. That's what they are. They're reactionary. They're not always logical. They're not always rational. When emotion kicks in, sometimes we do some silly things. Sometimes we do some necessary things driven by emotion. It's because of the turmoil that our emotions sometimes get us into that we need to encourage one another. Fear, discouragement, frustrations. As these reactions to the circumstances of our lives take place within us, we need the encouragement of those of like precious faith. Here's the last one on my list. We need to encourage one another because we are dependent. Now, we are dependent on God for sure. But there is also a very important sense in which we are dependent upon one another. Our faithfulness is fed by one another. I didn't say our faith is fed by one another. Our faith is fed by God's Word, but our faithfulness is fed by one another. Tom had a great lesson last Sunday night where he enumerated several of the things that we are encouraged to do for one another. An interesting study to consider all of those one another passages in the Bible. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I believe that's one of the ways that God's Word recognizes how dependent we are on one another. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. Paul looks back to the time that's recorded long about Acts chapter 17. And he says, "Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith." To that church in Thessalonica, Paul says, that's why we sent Timothy, so he could encourage and strengthen you, and so that he could eventually bring back word to us of how you were doing and thus encourage us. As we close our time for this study this morning, let's take just a minute to look at some of the ways that we need to be practicing encouragement. Assembling. Oh yes. That's what it says. Hebrews 10 verses 24 and 25 calls attention to the responsibility that we have toward one another. The fact that we should encourage one another so much the more as we see the day drawing nigh. One of the most encouraging things that we ever go through on a regular basis, one of the little things maybe, is when we come together in an assembly such as this to worship God and to study together from His Word. Listening is a very important form of encouraging. The person who doesn't have time for anything you need to tell someone is not a very encouraging person to be around. We need to listen. We need to be careful that we don't take advantage of the listeners. Because some people seem to get a little bit caught up in the telling part. In fact, I've noticed that those who seem to be so driven to tell so much rarely ever have time to listen to anybody else. Praying. How encouraging it is to know that people say things like, "I'd like for you to pray for me." How encouraging it is when someone says, "I'm praying for you." What about the matter of being open, approachable, and being honest? If we depend upon deception, hiding something, in order to sustain our relationships with others, it'll never go anywhere. It'll never work. Expressing, especially expressing appreciation, there are very few more effective ways of encouraging people than of expressing our appreciation to them. Sometimes challenging is a very important thing when it comes to encouraging folks, because some of us need challenging from time to time, and if nobody ever challenges us, we tend to kind of lie right in the same old rut. The last one on my list here is sharing. Oh, not the feel-good word that we sometimes overuse. I'm thinking more specifically about the matter of sharing God's Word. Sharing God's Word with one another, and especially with those who don't know it as well as we do. Helping people to find what God's Word says about particular things. I can tell you for sure that that's a two-way street in the matter of encouragement. It's very encouraging to the recipient when we share God's Word with them. And there are very few things that you can do that will leave you any more encouraged than to spend some time studying and sharing God's Word with someone else. You know, there is so much that could be said on the subject of encouraging one another. Hopefully what we've looked at just as a sort of an overview this morning will remind us of how important our relationships with one another are. If our relationships with one another are not what they should be, then that becomes a hindrance in our relationship with God. By the way, how is your relationship with God? Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ in the very same way that the people did in the book of Acts in the New Testament. Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism in order that your sins can be washed away. Perhaps you've already done that, but have become unfaithful in your service to God. Why not come back and be restored? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.